These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder. Chapter 23. I had a dream of Sam Bellows. I was in West Texas at the time, an odd place to dream of Sam Bellows because he would have never gone to Texas. Never even thought about no interest at all in Texas. He was a man of the mountains, the Blue Ridge. I cannot imagine him anywhere else but standing in the shadows of the east slope of the Shenandoah. That is where he is fixed in my mind. In my dream, I was following him on a winding side trail headed off the edge of Hogback Gap into the trees and then up toward the ridge. It was summer, and it was dense and close and yet still cool in an arched and almost ornate corner of mountain law. Now, some people may say rhododendron, but they're wrong. It's mountain law. Around large rocks with their intricate and easy patterns of lichen and moss, Sam Bellows took long strides. He was a big man. It was hard to keep up. I was a child in this dream, and he turned to me. He said, "We're making good time." And I remember I was so happy about that. As a child in my own dream, I was keeping up. Then he said, "We get over this ridge, Turner. We'll get to the cabin. It's got a good spring." I could taste the water. I could see in my mind the old light green plastic camping cup that hung on the twig of that ironwood tree hanging over the creek. I hopped and skipped to keep up with that man. I was excited. "Will Hayes be there?" I asked. "Course," Sam Bellows said. "We're going there to save her."
"Ain't she safe?"
I asked like a kid would ask. "She's never safe." We'd come up halfway up that ridge and we crossed a 2-lane road. Automobiles were on it, but they weren't going nowhere. The cars were skeletons pulled aside, doors flung open, hoods popped up. Nobody around. I wanted to sit in one of those cars, hop up and down on the seats, pretend like I was driving. "We can't," Sam Bellows said. "Those cars got a disease. They are a disease." And I shrugged and I figured he was talking about rust. All God's creations get rust after time. We walked on that asphalt road for a time and then turned off on the outlines of the vague ruts of an ancient wagon trail and headed straight off the edge of the ridge, straight down. No switchbacks on those old pioneer roads. Governor Dinwiddie had followed that road to the valley. We came to a thicket of underbrush and nettles. I could hear a stream and maybe a falls. We slowed. I looked back, and I could not see the trail we had been on. No footprints or painted blazes or broken twigs. It was like we'd never been where we'd been.
"We lost?"
I asked. "I ain't, but you are." Sam let go of my hand. My eyes popped wide open, wholly awake. There had been a flash and a pop, very much like the rebooting of a digit chip. Like a upgrade had come down, which was a foolish, foolish thing to think. There hadn't been any upgrades for 10, 15 years. And I thought maybe it wasn't a dream at all, but that Sam Bellows had tried to contact me via the cloud. And I realized now that was a foolish presumption. Sam Bellows didn't trust nothing smaller than an axe. Well, maybe a hatchet. The colors changed behind my eyes.
"They're having a party out there,"
Lady Astoria said to me.
"Firecrackers and bottle rockets, and I smell tortillas. Let's go."
She grabbed my hand. We, the Eastern Tennessee Traveling Magic Show, were well into our third week of cutting along behind, and what I mean by behind is following the high and dry metal-paved and refuse-strewn trails over the western slopes of the Appalachian Ranges, and those giant tailing and salt piles that dominated the West Texas landscape. Always staying upwind if we could. Our Winnebago had clunked and hissed from village to village, And I have to say that one collection of 100 to 150 people stuck to the side of a mountain of bald radio towers looked pretty much the same as the next collection of poor folks stuck to the side of another mountain of bald radio towers. But in each one, Sterling Bowan's most excellent and 5-star rated and highly recommended tall magic show put on the performance of their life, with a kicker always being the disappearance of the little princess, Lady Mary Margaret Juanita Astor of Bolivia. I took tickets. That's all they allowed me to do.
You just don't seem to have any sense of showmanship or creative deceit in your soul,
Sterling Bowen reported to me with a sad, sad hangdog look. I don't know how you're going to become a historian unless you know how to lie. And they never told how any of those tricks worked. I never found out.
You blab,
Astoria said, and I believe she believed that I would. And maybe I would have. Maybe. I would have included a mention or two as an addendum to my dissertation. Entertainments, celebrations, rituals, and pastimes of the indentured peoples of West Texas and the East New Mexico environs, 2029 to 2052, an overview with personal observations by Dr. Turner J.W. Ashby, Ph.D., University of Colorado Press. Now, there's some awful good bar graphs in there, if I say so myself. We stepped out of the Winnebago and found solid ground. For the first time in weeks, we weren't following a road of linked and roughly soldered metal doors with 1,000 busted appliances. Our boots struck dirt and dust. Astoria kept holding my hand and pulled me towards the music. An odd and beguiling mix of Creole, hip-hop, and old-time Texas swing. There was a circle, and inside the circle there was dancing, clapping, and calling in a couple, 3 different languages at the least. A tall girl's head bobbed and swung inside the most inner circle, keeping her eyes fixed in a ballet concentration, spinning. Her dress was off her shoulders, her feet were bare, her hair was intricately plaited in long ponytails. I just stared. That's what I always do, I always have when I see a beautiful woman. I stare. But there was something more about her than simple beauty. Oh yes, she had a mask on, and the face seemed awful familiar.
What are you staring at?
Astoria pulled me past Ed and Claire and their sweet, sweet child, who were staying safely on the edge of the circles. And she pulled me right into one. She swirled, claiming her own circle. I stumbled a bit and hooked arms with a line of dull and drunken-eyed boys. A few brave and spangled girls took the lead and sang into sticks like they were holding microphones. But there was no electricity in West Texas, no microphones out there. Other boys and girls, they spat beats and stomped on the carcasses of old washer and dryers. You could hear it for miles, all that thumping. We had come across the bright new burg of Frigidaire, about 10 miles northeast of Whirlpool. And we had arrived right smack in the middle of their summer solstice celebration. But what were they celebrating? July 4th had become almost perverse. Nobody wanted to be reminded of what once was May Day. 2 English in the month of May had passed. Now Cinco de Mayo, same except in Spanish. Labor Day? Labor was not a word any indentured soul wanted to celebrate or discuss. Memorial, oh, all those walls. Yet they sang and danced. There were a number of circles, some with the young, like our circle, some with families, some with old geezers. Lots of old geezers. The world was full of them. They all sang. I did not know their tunes. I thought I had a pretty good memory for old songs, collected them in my digichip, and I was going to write a book about them, these songs I did not know, and then suddenly, I did know one. It went like this. I came down to Texas. No credit, no contract, no bill of sale. restless and breathless. The afternoon moon shines so pale. I'll give you my dust. I'll give you all that I might come to be. If you come down from the shadows, oh please, fair Liza, won't you marry me? We had come across a fair Liza fair, one of the many popping up across the indentured territories, often known as Fair Liza Fest, or sometimes simply Liza Day. The tall girl swirled toward the line of boys. Her mask was a photo cut out of a fashion magazine, a close-up of a face. The face stared model-like in black and white, composed and daring. The face was the face of Lace Fitzgerald. I'd known that face all my life. The girl sped up her dance, and her concentration was on the line of boys. She leaned into each boy, and each one leaned to kiss that mask. Stuck out their tongues, whooped, grabbed their crotches. Well, I was taken aback. Liza Day was nothing more than a fertility ride. I had nothing against fertility rides per se, so I leaned in for my kiss. Closed my eyes, because I've always been a romantic. And I almost gonna get that kiss, and I found myself pulled away. Oh, no, not before the kiss. I was pulled from the circle.
Time to get to work, Turner,
asked Doris said.
Sterling says there's a fortune to be made telling fortunes around here.
Oh, and the money did roll in. Magic shows, palmistry, patent medicines, digichip restorations. Our own doctor, Dr. Peter Starr, was making a tidy sum doing digichip replacements and modifications. Everybody, every indenture had promised themselves to take their children off the grid, get back to a saner world, pull out those chips and make them less easy to find. But at the same time, there was always that slight possibility in the back of your mind, back behind that chip, that the cloud might come back online, that the computer viruses might heal themselves. Something good might come download after all those years. So most people said, give them that upgrade, or what passed for one, and went back to watching their favorite videos, those wonderful antique videos that just appeared. It used to be when Lays, Fitzgerald, and our children, that you could watch each other's videos, pass them back and forth. You could share everything that you had up in your little piece of the cloud. YouTubes, Twitters, and peeps.
This is a darling one, Turner.
Lays used to say when we were just 7. I would watch whatever she gave me all the way through because I loved her. And I'd always pass back something by the Beatles. Everybody gave everybody something by the Beatles. All pictures of squirrels. Lays loved pictures of squirrels smoking cigarettes, playing cards in the band Joy Division. Dance, dance to the radio. And we held hands and danced. We didn't even know what a radio was. Then the virus came. What are you giving me Korean economic indicators for, Turner? Are you crazy? We had turned 8, and the cloud had been burst, busted open by the horrendous viruses. You did not know what you were going to get when you typed a search into a search engine. Most of the time you got Chinese pornography. And if it wasn't Chinese pornography, it turned into it after a while. We'd been another 3-4 weeks in Frigidaire. Started to get comfortable. Claire sidled up to me and she said,
I've been thinking about your Lays. Maybe it's for the best. Maybe you need to let her go.
And do what? I said. I'd told Claire everything. I always had. I told her about Lays being engaged to Peter Storr, and what did he have that I didn't have, except that whole healing the paw and tending to the sick doctor deal.
How about?
Claire nodded toward Astoria. Astoria looked up excited. She had not heard us just as well. She rushed over. She kissed us both.
Something wonderful is going to happen.
We said, well, tell us.
Fair Liza's coming. Fair Liza's coming to Texas to make a personal appearance.
Well, I guess I could forget about Lays Fitzgerald. she was coming to my neck of the world. More soon. Turner Ashby.